Welcome to something new from Columbus Monthly, an audio article of sorts, our very first leap into podcasting. And not so coincidentally, our topic today is podcasting, so that makes this a podcast on podcasting. I'm Steve Wartenberg. I'm a freelance writer for Columbus Monthly, and for the next 20 or 30 minutes or so, I'm the magazine's chief podcast correspondent, a title I just invented. I was asked to do this verbal vehicle because I'm working on a series of articles on the local podcasting scene for the November issue of Columbus Monthly. It'll hit newsstands on October 29th. I'm also a podcaster. I produce and host the James Cancer Free World podcast for the James Cancer Hospital here in Columbus. So hopefully I know a little bit about podcasting. My guest certainly does. He's Vince Tornero, president of Wessler Media. Vince produces A Fair to Remember for the people at the Ohio State Fair, and he does the One Goal podcast for Pelotonia. He's also working on a new true crime podcast that Vince says could possibly be as big as Serial or S-Town, two of the biggest and best true crime podcasts ever. I know, you got to think big in the podcasting world, and Vince sure does. So here we go. Vince, welcome to the Columbus Monthly orally uttered editorial on podcasting.
That was beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Well, no, it's great to be here. I'm really happy to do this.
I practiced a lot. So, Vince, let's start off with the basic question. Podcasts are huge. In the course of my research for these stories, I've learned there's 800,000 or more podcasts out there, and 50% or more of the population listens regularly. Why do you think podcasts are so popular?
Well, I think when you watch a movie, you see the visuals on screen and you can make judgments about how the person looks, how they act, how they move. With podcasting, for instance, you referenced S-Town earlier. When you listen to that, there's a specific character without giving it away, and you wonder what he looks like, and your mind just races. And so I think when your mind has to listen, there is a theater of the mind that takes place. And I think what's so fun about podcasting is that podcasting is like a mental playground for your brain because you can't see anything. So it's like all the information isn't there, so your brain has to, like, you know, put in pieces of information that isn't there. So I think that's why podcasting is so popular, is because you really get to just have fun mentally, and it takes you on a roller coaster.
Boy, that's a great point, and I never thought of that. And now I'm trying in my mind, picturing the main guy from S-Town, this incredibly fascinating character, and I have no idea what he looks like. And I'm picturing a guy in overalls, a big guy in overalls. I don't know about you.
Yeah, when I saw him, I looked it up, and it was just like, that's not what I pictured at all.
But that's great. You get to use your imagination.
Yeah.
So does that mean people right now are trying to imagine what we look like?
Well, I'm tall. I have black hair. I'm about 6'5". No.
Me too.
Yeah, there we go. No, but I think it is. I think what's so exciting about it is because, you know, when I started in kind of the radio world on WTVN here in Columbus and a few other stations, one of the things that's just so fascinating to me is because it's almost a different world. And so with, you know, broadcast radio going through transitions, I think, you know, this is so exciting for me because this is almost like my generation's talk radio.
Right.
You know, this is the grandchild of old-timey radio shows like The Shadow, which I used to have a radio transmitter in my room, and I would play those, and I'd play WTV, and I'd play, you know, I'd make my own radio station. And so when I heard that, it was just like, oh my gosh, Orson Welles is here, and, you know, buy blue coal tomorrow. And it's like all that stuff where it's a whole different world, whereas TV is powerful, obviously. But I think what makes podcasting so powerful is that it takes you on a journey unlike any other medium. It is so intimate, too, you know, where you can sit down, you can talk to somebody, you can visit with somebody. But for podcasting, it's just, you're just sitting with them. And it just seems like a one-on-one exchange.
Intimate.
Yeah.
That's what someone who I interviewed talked about, the intimacy of inviting people in to tell them a story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's powerful. And I don't even think we've even scratched the surface of what podcasting could do.
Now, I think people listening may have noticed a bit of passion in your voice when you talk about podcasts. And that's something we've talked about a little, that the passion you have for doing podcasting and telling stories, why is that so important to be passionate about podcasts?
So I'll just be perfectly honest. I mean, I had the two podcasts that I do is the Ohio State Fair, Fair to Remember, which will be in its third season next year. And then Pelotonia's One Goal podcast, which was, you know, a different emotional experience because you got people talking about their health, their life, their well-being, being very, very honest with me. Like, I got to go to the James with a couple, Brian and LaShondra Baker, episode one, and it was Victories and Sights, the name of the episode. And they were so shockingly honest with me with their whole journey. I could go everywhere except for, like, obviously where Brian had his pet scan and stuff. And that was a powerful episode. And I think when I develop that, you produce that, at least for me, it's difficult to not get engaged with the person that I'm covering and have them be, you know, almost a friend of mine. And so I think, at least for me, and this is not for everybody, I really make my projects personal. So when I'm putting it together, I am producing it as if somebody's doing a piece on me. This is, I want, like, my company's name's on it. I'm doing this, and I want this to be better than they possibly could ever imagine. And I want, because this is their health, for crying out loud. This is the fair, which has been around since, you know, 1850. So when I think about how grand that is and how important it is for so many people and how so important people's health are and stuff, I've got to do, and I don't mean this like patting myself on the back or anything, I've got to pour my heart and soul into that.
Well, you feel an obligation to tell their stories well.
Absolutely. I mean, you got hundreds and thousands and maybe even millions of people that have donated their time to the fair. And then you've got so many people, of course, you know, Peloton had just passed $200 million in donations. And you just see this community and it's just like, and I get to play this role about telling this story. That's incredible.
So I'm glad you said all that, because passion, and everyone I've talked to, they've all talked about how it's important to be passionate, because doing a podcast is not easy.
No.
We're a little lucky here. We're in the studio of the Dispatch, and we have Patrick as our engineer that makes it easy. But there's a lot of technical work that goes into it. There's a lot of lining up guests. There's editing. There's getting out there. It takes a lot of work to do a podcast. In fact, I just learned the other day that 50% of all podcasts never get past 7 episodes. Blueberry put out that statistic. So talk a little bit about that just the amount of work it takes. Now, we're doing a one-on-one sort of interview podcast that is requires less work, less editing, but you do these really well-produced, I'll equate them to This American Life type podcast, where you're intertwining several stories. There's all these production elements. How long does it take to do an episode for Pelotonia or the Ohio State Fair?
So you've obviously got, you mentioned it, you have the conversational ones, and then you have the ones that are narrative storytelling. So This American Life ones, at least for me, it could take about a week, week and a half to put one together, because you're...
So 40 to 60 hours.
Yes. Yeah. Because you got to find the moments which will work well with certain types of music. You got to find the right theme. And I've spent a half a day looking for one music bed for one part of one episode. So, you know, there's some people that, I don't want to say don't care as much, but that's not as big as of a priority. But for me, you know, it's, I don't know, like I was just doing some painting in my office and I was doing the trim and I'm like, okay, I see a little bit of a paint swipe here. So as I'm painting in my office, I'm like, well, that's kind of the way I treat my podcasting. It's like, I got to like get that little swipe here. Like I'll be listening to a cut and I'll hear like somebody say, and so that's when I said, and I'll hear like a in the background. I'm like, what was that? And my wife will be sitting there and she'll be like, you're nuts. And I'm like, I can't handle it. I got to get into it. Patrick knows it, man. You're feeling me, bro. No, but that's that, and so it takes a long time. Like there was, I didn't mention this earlier, but there were plenty of times where it'd be, you know, again, not lying to you, two or three in the morning when I'd be sitting there listening to somebody at the James, or, you know, listening to somebody saying, well, when I made the deep fried Buckeye at the fair, it's, you know.
So your wife is right in that you do need to be a little nuts, a little obsessive to really put out a great podcast, that it is. All those little things you mentioned are important, and that when you put 1,000 of them together, that's how you get something really good.
Yeah, and it'll be things like, you know, I'm telling you, like you'll be eating or chewing gum and it's just like my mind starts to go like, ah, I can't fade that out. This is an Adobe Audition. This is real life now, you know, so.
And that's interesting, because in this type of podcast, a one-on-one interview type, I'm not as concerned about or an ah here or there or a slight pause, because a conversation between two people, you have that, but in a narrative story, you don't want that.
No, I mean, I think one thing that's so critical to anything, whether it's radio or whether it's, you know, doing a podcast, is if you're authentic, you know, and I think people can sniff that out. You know, I remember one of the first times that, you know, I recorded anything for a radio program or whatever was, I was trying to be Mr. Broadcaster, you know, like I'm not Paul Harvey, and I'm not going to be that, you know. And so the guy that was with me, my buddy Jason, said jock mouth, you know, and I was like, that stuck with me.
Jock mouth, I've never heard that.
You know, if you try to be.
Oh, like
know,
a sports.
Four trucks, or you're trying to be the Mr. Announcer, don't puke on the microphone. It's a little gross, but it's just like, just talk, man. You know, it's just, if you just, you're who you are. People will love that. People will gravitate to you. And that's what makes podcasting powerful, is when you can kind of find your own authentic personality, like in Ira Glass, or in my case, Startup was a great podcast with Alex Blumberg and Gimlet. And he was a really good one, because he started a podcast company and did a podcast about it. And that just blew my mind.
So let's follow up on that a little bit. You're an easy person to interview, as people may have noticed already.
Well, I appreciate that.
Some people aren't as easy to interview, and they freeze up a little in the mic. They're a little nervous. What are some of the things you do to help people relax, to help get a good interview?
Talk about them. If somebody comes in, they got an interesting necklace on, or they've got a photo of their grandchild around their neck, or they got a t-shirt that says, like, Cancun. I'm like, oh, you go to Cancun, or somebody get that for you? You know, I start to, like, talk about that. And they say, oh, yeah, it was a great trip, or, you know, no, I did this X, Y, Z. I see, you know, things about them, you know. And it also, to be perfectly frank, like, I get nervous going in interviews, too. So, like, it helps me to relax because I've never met somebody before. Let's say I've never met somebody in this instance. I'd want to talk about them, because it kind of get my mind and just kind of in the zone. So when you sit down, you start recording, you can kind of notice like their foot tapping or whatever, or their arms crossed. And I love it when you see the arms come uncrossed and they sit down on the sides of the chair. And it's okay, got them. They relax now.
Yeah.
And so
that's a great point. And one of the things I'll do when I talk to some of the cancer docs at the James is we'll talk first about what we're going to talk about. And I'll make sure to tell them, hey, if you mess up, if I mess up, we can edit it out. It's easy. And that helps relax people, because once they know that it's not live, which some people are actually think that this is going out live, that they don't understand how the whole process of podcasting and they think it's live and they get all nervous. But nope, we can edit. We can make changes. Just relax. Take your time. It's just two people having a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's like when you see people coming in nervous, like, you know, I used to be a kid, and I don't know about you, like growing up, like, I didn't know any social grit. I just was, you know, I don't know, like, you just don't pick up on social cues as a kid. And then later, when you start to do that, my mind just races. I don't know, like, how you focus during an interview, but when I see certain things, it just freaks me out. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, they moved in their chair. They didn't like that. And I just kind of relax.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just notice certain things. Like, I'll notice certain things while I'm asking a question. You know, like, oh, they didn't like this, or they shifted here, they did this. So I pay attention to body language.
But are you judging yourself and worried that it's not going well when you say they're fidgeting? Or
all the time.
All
the time.
That's interesting. Cause
all
I've,
the time.
Because I was a reporter for many years, so I'm okay. So used to interviewing people that I don't know why, but I adapted pretty easily. But another thing I've learned, and perhaps you do this, is try not to think ahead to your next question. Stay in that moment and really listen to what the person's saying, because you can pick up on something that you'll ask a follow-up question that'll really shed some light on something really important or emotional, which
yeah.
In your case, I'm sure it's true a lot, because your shows are all about emotions.
Yeah, it's difficult too, because you know, you hear something you want to ask, and that's why I just have a notepad, because I'll write it down, because somebody's going on a train of thought. And one thing that makes it easy, if you are doing a narrative storytelling podcast, if you can get somebody on a good train of thought when they start to talking about sequences of events, that's really important. And if they tell it chronologically, it's even better, because that saves time in the editing process. So if you talk about somebody's childhood and then you talk about the time they went to, let's say, the fair, and then you go back to the childhood, you kind of got to play a little bit of a chess game, a little bit of a puzzle game there. So if you get people just talking and relaxed and talking in chronological sequences of events, it's great stuff.
Now, because you're the nature of your podcast, are you interviewing people outside of a studio in sort of in a hospital or at the state fair or in their homes? Where do you do your interviews?
Typically, the most controlled and everywhere. I mean, to answer your question, but the best places are the ones where you, if you have a controlled environment. Because if I have, like, you know, a fair ride going doo 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 in the background, that, yeah, then I had like a really, you know, sad song, it's not going to work. Yeah, in the background there. So one thing that you've got to be aware of is thinking about the environment, sound quality, where if I'm at the fair, typically this is going to sound just fine. You know, if somebody's talking about, well, that time that I saw PBS has got a great special on about country music. So Johnny Cash, let's say Johnny Cash at the fair, and that's great because you want that sound effect in the background, that natural sound. And so when I think about that, I just think that background sound works. But if you're talking about something kind of more personal and emotional, inside of a hospital is okay. At a, you know, outside downtown Columbus, you know, maybe not. So it's for me, it's just environment. Does it match the mood?
I'm picturing the inside of the James, and perhaps you could have problems, which a lot of podcasters do, with air conditioning's heaters, that humming noise. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that?
Audio-Technica AT8035. It is a great shotgun microphone that takes, I think, a AA battery.
Okay.
And you throw that in there, and you have an XLR mic, and probably about $500, you can get this. You get the microphone cord, get the recorder, and then that actually records directionally. And so it's really good because I've been in really loud environments, and it's gotten great directional audio. So
directional meaning you only hear of like within a couple inches of the microphone.
It shoots in one direction. So if Patrick was talking to Vera to my left, and I was pointing directly to you, and he was kind of, you know, humming a tune or whatever, it would hear a little bit of it, but it would mostly pick up me pointing right at you.
Okay. And by the way, Patrick is the engineer here at the Dispatch. He's sitting to my right and Vince's left. Vince and I are facing each other. Patrick's over here on the soundboard or whatever you call it. I'm not even sure. What do you call that? The mixer, the soundboard, the electronic stuff.
The thing with buttons on it that lights up. We'll just call it that.
Perfect. So, and some of the people I interviewed talked about how they do it in a closet.
Yeah.
And someone else suggested a car, that's a sort of a soundproof sound studio. The only problem is you're not facing the person unless you have a really big car. So
yeah, that can work. I actually heard Keith Morrison from Dateline has recorded some of his stuff. I think it's Apogee is a mic brand that can connect to your phone or your laptop, and he actually records some of his lines in like his closet or whatever.
Okay.
So there are. It could be closet. It could be a car. You know, for me, for my studio, much like in here, we soundproofing. You know, that type of stuff. So if you walk into a room and you clap, you can hear kind of some of the reverberations, so that can give you an indicator of where to put some soundproofing and things like that if you're setting up a home studio.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. Now, do you ever do telephone interviews?
Yes.
Because I've talked to some people, well, in my own personal experience, a landline is better. And one of the things I noticed is take it off speaker, because if it's on speaker, you hear echoes. How about Skype? Do you ever do Skype?
Skype, yes. I think the one thing that I have found that's very good is tape a call. It's a great app on iOS. I'm pretty sure it's on Android as well. Basically, what you do is somebody calls you. You tell them, hang on a second. You merge the calls together and with the app, and it'll start recording.
Your iPhone?
Yes.
And it's called Tape a Call?
Tape a Call, all one word, yeah.
I'm going to start using that interviewing people.
It's a pretty cheap app. Yeah. As long as their quality is good, like most iPhones today have great audio quality. I had a guy call me today. I was like, wow, this is really good.
Hmm.
And so Tape a Call is a great app for that. And it's maybe like $5 tops.
Okay. Wow. A month or a year?
Total.
Total.
Okay. I haven't looked it up, but it's very cheap, very affordable.
Okay. Now, this is a rather obvious question. Why is the sound important, the audio quality important?
I think because it will detract. So if you have bad audio quality, it's a big story. Then that poor audio quality will be distracting to somebody getting emotionally engaged with the content. So, you know, if you have like, you know, crunch in the background or whatever it is, my mind immediately starts to think about that. So when I'm producing a podcast,
it's distracting.
I think about my board here. Why am I bored? Should this stay or should it go? Oh, I heard this sound effect. Does that detract or does that go along with it? Even when I'm choosing music beds or, you know, even audio quality too, it's like, you know, do I want to keep this sound effect here? Does that enhance or does it attract? Does it distract? You know, like, so that's what I think about. So bad audio quality can keep somebody disengaged from being invested in the story.
Yeah, I find in listening to a lot of podcasts, particularly new ones and people who are doing it on their own, audio quality is one of the biggest barriers, one of the biggest problems they have. And we have this advantage here, and I do as well at the James, of a professional studio is just a tremendous advantage.
If you got the money, man, do it.
Actually, I've heard it could be 25 to 50 an hour, and if you're playing well, you can do one in an hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something people can think about. And someone else suggested that before you invest in all this equipment, some of the things you mentioned, put out a little bit of money in a studio, do one episode and see if you like doing it. Because again, back to that idea of pod fading, how people realize how hard it is. And then after two or three episodes, they disappear.
Well, it's not like posting something on Instagram. It's not like, you know, putting a tweet or something out. I mean, if you are legitimately passionate about a certain topic, just have fun with it. You know, a good podcast shouldn't be comprised of, oh, my friends and I are funny talking. Like, okay, everybody can do that. Like, what can you offer as a podcaster that is completely, you know, unique and different? And, you know, I think, you know, with your Cancer Free World podcast, one thing that's really cool about it is the fact that you obviously have a, you know, great connection to that institution and there's access and stuff like that. So that's one thing that podcast can do. And that's why that podcast is unique and listenable, is because you've got that connection there.
That's a good point. If you're going to have a program about a certain topic, you need to have the experts in that topic on your show to give you credibility.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Rogan, I mean, that guy is almost an anomaly because, like, I mean, he could have anybody on. Like, he had Bernie Sanders, you got the Black Keys, and you got Paul Stanley from Kiss, a few others that I had listened to. And that guy's been, he has like 1,500 podcast episodes recorded. Each podcast gets like millions and millions of listens, even watches on YouTube. And so, and I see this, and like, this guy's been doing it for a long time. He's had the celebrity status with, I think, Fear Factor and the boxing. I don't know what the
he was
UH.
On, and you're too young for this. He was on a TV show about a radio show.
He was?
Yes, years ago.
Tell me about this. No. But it's just like he's been around a long time. A UFC, that's what I was thinking. Not UHF. Yeah, that's the old Weird Al movie. Yeah, and so he had he's been around a long time. So he's got the celebrity status and he's got the longevity in the medium too. So
oh man, you led me perfectly into something I've come up with during the course of interviewing for this series of articles. And I've sort of categorized podcasts, and Joe Rogan is at the top as someone who does a for profit, meaning this is to make money. Show him and Mark Maron and now Conan O'Brien do these mega shows with paid sponsors who give them a lot of money. That's sort of the top of the pyramid. Then comes This American Life, sort of it's a supplement to something you're already doing that NPR is doing. Fresh Air, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Then there's a couple of what you've done and what I do. You're doing it for an organization as part of their brand, as part of their communications, as part of telling the world what they do. And then there's the niche one, which is probably the vast majority, just someone out there who's interested in a topic who wants to say something. So does that sound right? What do you think? Is that, or am I missing any categories?
No, I think people look at, you know, these grand podcasts and be like, I'm going to be Joe Rogan.
Right. I'm going to be the next Serial, as someone I'm looking at once said.
Patrick, did you say that? No, to me, it's like, if you are going to do it, go nuts and go for it.
Yeah, you don't have to have millions of listeners.
Well, I mean, but for me, like, on one hand, it's just like, I can hear somebody listen to this and being like, well, and this guy gets paid to do it. It's like, yeah, so I got to do a good job because, you know, number one, it's the right thing to do. Two, I'm getting a check every month from my clients. So, of course, I got to do a good job. But for me, it's like, you do have those. You've got those conversational ones. You've got, you know, that people have a celebrity status. And Conan, actually, he gets more listens to his podcast than views on an average episode of his show.
More than
TBS.
Oh.
Yeah. And so it's like his podcast is immensely popular. And so, you know, I think that brands can do that. So you got like the brand, you got the conversational, and then you just got those ones that just drop and it even Dr. Death is another one that's just like a true crime one that just goes nuts. And it's like, how does that happen? It just happens.
Now, it's fascinating. True crime ones are sort of one of the leading edge of podcasts. And I always noticed that as a newspaper reporter, that crime stories in the news were always amongst the biggest, most well-read stories. And it's the same with podcasting. Why is that? Why are people so fascinated by true crime stories, particularly unsolved murder mysteries?
People want to feel better about themselves or no, I don't know. No, but seriously, like there is an element of, I mean, voyeurism to it. I think people like to see like, oh, what's happening here? It's like, it's the same reason why somebody would snoop in on somebody on Facebook. It's like, oh, what kind of dirt thing going on? You know, so it's like that.
We're and pulling so, back the covers and hearing something we wouldn't otherwise be privy to.
Yeah, it's, I mean, people like it's the, I saw a Music Man on Broadway and it was, and they pick a little talk, a little bit, those ladies were singing around and it's just like, people like to do that. So we're naturally wired that way. And so I think true crime is kind of like you get to feel kind of sleuthy yourself. So Dateline's got one out called The Thing About Pam, and it's like number one right now. And so, and for me, it's like you hear it, and number one, Keith Morrison could read a phone book and it'd be great. But just to like, you hear it and you're almost along with it. Like to go back to the theater of mind and the emotional journey, when you hear it and you listen to it, you're almost kind of solving it with Keith when he already knows the end. But like when you're listening to it, I think part of the attraction of true crime podcasts is that you're kind of like, it's kind of a game too. Like who did this? Who did that? Crime Junkie is another one where two women sit around and talk about, you know, crimes and you're kind of like talking about with them. But I'm sitting in my office in Reynoldsburg and, you know, I'm not with them, but it feels like you're along with that journey.
Now, here's your chance. If you could give us a really brief description of your new podcast, this one you're doing on your own.
Yes.
As that, hopefully that top of the pyramid type for-profit one that's going to go viral and get a lot of hits. So what is your true crime podcast going to be about.
So in 2013, Matt Cordell drank, drove, went the wrong way on 670, hit and killed a man named Vincent Canzani, and he taped a video, and he said, "I killed a man," and that video went viral, and the first place I actually saw it, saw anything about the video was, I think Randy Ludlow wrote an article, and it was on front of the Dispatch, and so I instantly saw Matt's face, and I got...
Before he was arrested.
Yes, before, this is where the video came out, probably about 3 months after the accident, and so ever since that, I just felt a connection to that story. And it's weird because Matt and I were in car accidents about the same place. He was drinking and driving. I wasn't. I was just distracted driving. And
these are two separate incidents. Nothing to do with this.
Yeah. He had his accident, and then I had one later in close to the same spot. And you know, the man that he killed was Vince, and my name is Vince. So it just gets a little weird when I look at his family makeup and stuff like that. So basically, I just felt this connection. Weird little things, nothing major, but just weird connection to the story. So.
You felt the need to explore this.
Well, I just, to be honest, when I was there in the courthouse and I would see the family, you know, approached by, you know, reporters and things, I just felt like there's more to this than a video. And I went into the story, and Matt has been shockingly honest with me. His family has been very great. I'm also, of course, talking to the victim's family as well, and working on getting better in touch with them. But it's a story where you see a viral video, you see something, and it fades away and it goes away so many times. But this is one of those things I just couldn't get away from. And I did some stuff on WTVN with it, but I just felt like with the podcast work that I've been doing, I felt like I've got to delve into this more. So Matt and I have actually done plenty of conversations through.
He's in prison, so you're speaking to him in prison.
Yeah, he makes phone calls, and every, you know, so many minutes during the call, this is a call from a corrections facility, and so that comes in. But
you're going to use that as part of your podcast, aren't you?
Yes, because it puts you in that moment with me as you're going along the story.
I'm imagining a person in prison talking on a payphone.
And one thing I want to do with this podcast that's critical is Matt Cordell is no hero. He is somebody who, with his irresponsible actions, killed a man.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that when you tell a story like this that you acknowledge the fact that he did drugs and made a lot of irresponsible choices in his life and made a horrible choice one night that changed a family forever, changed his family, changed other families. And so here's a chance for him to redeem himself when eventually he gets released from prison. And so we've already talked, and I'll be working with him post-release to follow his life.
When do you think this will be coming out?
I would say sometime in 2020 we'll have some information on that, because I was putting it together, and I felt like, you know what, I think there needs to be almost a story of redemption here at the end, because I would hate to end it with, you know, somebody's death. And I don't like to leave things negatively. And so that's why part of the reason I like working with Peloton is because they're so positive and forward thinking. So with anything I do, there's a lot of negativity in the world. And so I always just want to take it and just bring some sort of positivity and add that to the planet. So.
Okay. Well, that's something I'm going to look forward to listening to.
Well, I appreciate that. It's been a passion project, and I think we'll get it picked up somewhere.
So let's end it on that passion project, just so people remember and know that. Yes, go out. If you're passionate about something, go out and start your own podcast. It's a lot of work, but it can be worth it. And it's a great opportunity to get your voice, to get your thoughts out there, and be like Vince.
No, there's only one. Okay. The planet only needs one. But no, but do. If you find something that you are uniquely in love with and something that you're uniquely connected to, investigate whether or not it can actually be a podcast, and just have fun.
Exactly. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us.
It's been fun, man. Seriously, I love doing this. So yeah, I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Columbus Monthly Magazine. Please check out the November issue of our magazine to read and learn more about podcasting here in Central Ohio, plus several other local and really interesting articles and stories that weren't written by me. And who knows, we just might have to do another one of these audio articles.